Today's shiur is Masechta Sukkah Daf Lamed Ches, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Ches on Aleph at the Mishnah. Teaches us the Mishnah, Mishabah Bederach, if one was traveling, for Lehoya B'yodoi Lulav Litoil, and did not have a lulav available to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, L'chishichonis L'beisoi, when he gets home, and he has a lulav available, has a Dalaminim available, Yitoil, Al Sulchanai, he should take the lulav at his table and do the mitzvah. Loi notel shachris, if somebody didn't take the lulav in the morning, yitl ben abayim, he should take it in the afternoon. Shekol ayoyim kosh lulav, for the entire day is valid to be mekayim, the mitzvah of lulav. It could be done all day, even though, as we're learning now, it should lechatchila be done in the morning. If he did not do it in the morning, a person could be mekayim the mitzvah the entire day. And as the Chasam Sofer explains, our Mishnah is teaching us three dinim. One is that l'chatchila, one should take the lulav right away in the morning. Second halacha is, if he's in the middle of a meal, he should interrupt his meal to be mekayim the mitzvah lulav. But also, lastly, that the mitzvah of lulav, one can be mekayim that mitzvah the entire day. Says the Gemara, Amrit, noit la'al shulchanai. The Mishnah says that if somebody came back from a trip and did not yet do the mitzvah of dal minim, he should take it at his table. L'memra, which seems to indicate the mafsik, that one has to interrupt his meal to be mekayim mitzvah lulav. For minu, ask the Gemara kasha from a Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos. The Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos teaches us the various things a person is not allowed to begin doing before davening mincha once the time for mincha has arrived, because we're concerned that if he starts doing these activities, he may forget to daven mincha. But the Mishnah says there that if one did begin one of these activities, he does not have to stop or interrupt his meal in order to daven mincha. He should finish his meal and then go on to davening mincha. Ask the Gemara of Reminu, that's why ask the Gemara in the Mishnah, Masechta Shabbos, it says, a Mischilu, if they began one of the prohibited activities, Emaf Sikin. We do not interrupt the meal. Here, we do interrupt the meal. The Rishonim point out that we could have answered that the difference between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos is that the Mishnah over here is speaking where one began eating the meal after the Zman of the Mitzvah began. Because the Zman of the Mitzvah begins right away in the morning. On the other hand, over there it's speaking that the person began the activity before the Zman of Mincha came, and since he began before the Zman of Mincha, therefore he could continue. The Rishonim point out the fact that the Gemara does not give that answer. It's a proof that the din that's stated in the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos applies even in a situation where a person began be'isr. That means that the person began doing one of these activities when he should have first davened mincha, yet the Mishnah is telling us he may continue. And that's why our Gemara is asking why over in our Mishnah does it say that he interrupts the meal, and in Masechta Shabbos does it say that we don't have to interrupt the meal. The Mefarshim point out that from here we see that just like by Kim HaMitzvah there's a concept of Zrizim Magdim HaMitzvahs, that a person should do the mitzvah immediately, and that's why our Gemara is assuming in explaining Pshat in our Mishnah that one should interrupt his meal in order to do the mitzvah immediately. The same concept of Zrizim Magdimim applies to Hilchas Tefillah, that a person should immediately stop his meal, seemingly, to do the mitzvah mincha, of davening. Amr of Safra, so Rav Safra answers, Loi Kasha. Hadi Ikishos Biyoin. The Mishnah Masechta Shabbos is referring to a situation where a person has enough time to still be Mekayim Tfilas Mincha. That's why he doesn't have to interrupt his meal. Ha, however, Amish is referring to a situation, the Lekashos Biyoin, the person does not have the time to complete the meal and still do the mitzvah, and that's why our Mishnah says he should stop and do the mitzvah. Amar Rava, my kasha. Says Rava, I don't understand the question in the first place. Dilma, Hada Raisa. Our Mishnah is referring to the mitzvah of Dalin Minim, which is a Chiv Daraisa. That's why the halacha is that one should interrupt his meal. Whereas Hada Rabbanon, the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos is referring to Tefillah, which is only the Rabbanon. That's why you don't have to interrupt your meal. The Ramban, based on this Gemara, asks a question on the Rambam. The Rambam holds that the Chiyuv to daven every day is a Chiyuv d'oraisa. Asks the Ramban, from here we see that our Gemara that wants to distinguish between Dalin Minim and Tefillah by saying that Dalin Minim is a Chiyuv d'oraisa and Tefillah is a Chiyuv d'rabbanon, so we see that Tefillah is only d'rabbanon. So the Mefarshim explain in answer to the Rambam that even the Rambam holds that to be mespalel every day is a chiv deraisa, the Rambam agrees that being mespalel only once a day is a chiv deraisa. So therefore, it's very gishmak. Even the Rambam will agree that if the person already davened shachris, he was mekayim the chiv deraisa, and that's why our Gemara is correct in stating that ha-daraisa, lulav is daraisa, tefillah is a drabon. The Magen Avraham points out that the Gemara answered ha-de-ikashos, ha-de-lekashos. Here we're dealing with a situation where there is time, when there is no time. So, poshepshat, we would learn that there is time to do the mitzvah after the meal. Says the Magen Avraham, and this is the way this Fasem explains the Magen Avraham. Let's say the meal that I'm planning to eat is a very long meal. It's a 2-3 hour banquet. So there really is enough time to do the mitzvah. However, there will not be time by the time the meal is over. So I intend to spend a long time eating the meal. Says the Magen Avraham, that when the Gemara says that there is no time, even though I'm taking a long time for the meal, which I'm not certainly obligated, why would I want to take a long time for the meal? Still, it's considered the lekas shos if by the time I intend to eat this meal, by the time I intend to finish this meal, I will not have opportunity to do the mitzvah anymore. El Amar Rava, Rava, who does not like the question between our Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, because he says we're dealing with a deraisa here, there we're dealing with the Rabbonin, says Ikasha Hakasha. This is the question to be asked. L'shiyichnes l'beisoi, our Mishnah says as soon as you come into your house, noitla shulchanai, he should take the dalaminim. Alma mafsik, it comes to teach us that a person should stop whatever he's doing to do the mitzvah dalaminim. V'hadatani, yet in our very Mishnah teaches us loy notl shachris, if somebody didn't take the lulav in the morning, yitl ben abayim, he has all day to take it until the evening. Alma, seemingly our Mishnah is teaching us loy mafsik, that you don't have to interrupt your meal as long as you'll have time before the day is over. That answers Rav Safra loy kasha hadik ishas b'yoyim. The second part of the Mishnah says that you don't seemingly have to interrupt your meal, and speaking with there's enough time after the meal to do the mitzvah. Hadalekashos b'yoyim. And the first part of the Mishnah that teaches us that you do interrupt the meal is where there is not enough time in the day to finish the meal and then take the dal meal. Om Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira is unsatisfied with the way Rava explains the Mishnah. He says that Rava wanted to say that there's an internal contradiction in the Mishnah. Says of Zeri my kasha, there is no internal contradiction. Dilma, perhaps what the Mishnah is teaching us in the Reisha is mitzvah of suki. L'chatchila, one should interrupt his meal in order to take the dalaminim. V'loy posuk. However, if the person continue eating the meal and he has not yet done the mitzvah of netilas lulav, yito ben abayim, he could take the lulav until the afternoon. Shekol hayom kasha lulav, because the whole day is kasha for mitzvah lulav. Elam Zera, therefore Reb Zera says, Loilam Kadamrinan Mikara. The question that we needed to answer was what's different between the our Mishnah and the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos? Or the Kashloch, or we asked the question, the difference between our Mishnah Masechta Shabbos is obvious. Hod Daraisa, our Mishnah is referring to Mitzvah Daraisa. Hod Rabbanon, the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos is referring only to Mitzvah Rabbanon. Says the Gemara, Hoch Beyond to Shein Rabbanon Askinin. Our Mishnah is also only referring to where taking the Lulav as a Chiv Rabbanon. It's not the first Ayantiv, as we've learned, and we'll learn again in our Perek. The mitzvah of taking the dalaminim midrash is only the first day. And here we're not dealing with the first day, we're dealing later on in Yontif. What's the proof that our Mishnah is not the first day? Dekanami, what's the proof that our Mishnah is not speaking on Yontif, it's speaking on Chol HaMoed? Midiktani, Misha Babaderech, our Mishnah speaks about a case, somebody travels, vein biyadei lulav. He doesn't have a lulav. This Akadatav Yontav Rishon. Now, if you're going to say that our Mishnah is speaking about the first day Yontav, Mishori, are we allowed to travel on Yontav? It must be that we're not referring to the first day Yontav, we're referring to Chol HaMoed. Ask the Mefarshim, perhaps we're talking about the first day Yontav, and the person traveled because he traveled with a Erev Tchumim that allows him to go past this Tchum. So Mefarshim answer, the Rishonim answer in a number of ways. One is, why did the Mishnah have to teach us Mishabah Baderech, that somebody's traveling Baderech? The Mishnah could have said, somebody's in the middle of the meal. Why do we need this introductory comment on Mishabah Baderech? The Mishnah is trying to teach us that we're talking in Chol HaMoed when one may travel. Along the same vein, other Rishonim say, even if you wanted to tell us some sort of a story, the Mishnah could have begun with Mishabah. Why did it begin Mishabah Baderech? The extra word Baderech seems to indicate that it's referring to Chol HaMoed. Another pshat the Mefarshim want to say is that if we're talking about the first day Yontif and the person was traveling with an Erev Tchumim, he would have first gotten up in the morning, done the mitzvah, and then afterwards take his travel. Here we're seemingly referring to a situation to a person who's already traveling. And therefore, since we're referring to a person who's already traveling, it must be not on Yontif, but rather on Chol HaMoed. From here, the Mefarshim point out that we see that Chol HaMoed is called Yontif, because our Mishnah is calling Chol HaMoed. The Gemara just said that that we're coming on Yontif, and our Mishnah is saying that what's Yontif? Yontif is called Chol HaMoed. So here we see that Yontif is called Chol HaMoed, and the obvious reason is that since it's also to do Malach and Chol HaMoed, only Dover HaAvid, therefore it's called Yontif. There is a Machloikis Rishonim, if in the Tefillah on Chol HaMoed, one should mention that it's called Chol HaMoed. The Rashi says, since as our Gemara called Chol HaMoed Yontif, one should, during the Tefillah, call, say Yontif. The Ritva disagrees that even though we're calling Chol HaMoed Yontif, somebody should not say during the Tefillah on Chol HaMoed as Yontov Mikra Kodesh Hazeh, because since Melacha is done in Chol HaMoed, if people will see that we're calling Chol HaMoed Yontif and doing Melacha, one will come to make the error and believe that it's mutter to do Melacha on Yontif. There's an interesting kasha, because the Taz in Simen Tov Reish Samaches, Sif Katan Aleph, says the Loi Ashkechon B'Gemara B'Shem Dochta. We don't find it any place in Shas. The Chalmoy Nikru Yontif. Ask the Rishonim, ask the Mefarshim, here we see that Chalmoy is called Yontif. That's why there's another approach to this Gemara that somewhat Mefarshim want to offer. They want to say that since that the Gemara here is not referring to Chol Hamoed, it's referring to the second day Yontif, which is Yontif for people in Chutz Laaretz, but not Yontif for people in Eretz Yisrael, and the Chiv of taking the Lulav on the second day Yontif in Chutz Laaretz, we discussed the Shaila once, is not the same as the Chiv of taking on the first day Yontif, even though in Chutz Laaretz we hold the second day is Yontif. And therefore, there will not be any proof that Chol Hamoed is indeed called Yontif. There is a tshuva from the Chidah. The Chidah says that let's say there's a person from Eretz Yisrael who is in Chutz Laaretz for Yontif. So on the second day Yontif, that we in Chutz Laaretz treat it as Yontif, and the Bnei Eretz Yisrael treat it as Chol Hamoed, they asked this Ben Eretz Yisrael, maybe he was the only person available, to be the Shliach Tzibur. But if he's going to be the Shliach Tzibur, he's going to have to say the Nusach that we say. When we say Shmon Esrei on Yontif by Musaf, we say it's Yontif, Mikra Kodesh Hazeh. And as we just discussed, there are many people that don't say that on Chol Hamoed. Says the Chidah, that much is certainly permissible. We have a Rashba that says you could always say it. And certainly under these circumstances, the Ben Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz, when he davens Musaf, if he's the Shliach Tzibur, could say it's Yontif, Mikra Kodesh Hazeh. Tosfos asks that the Gemara could have answered a different teretz, which is really based on a concept which is introduced in Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos says there's a difference between Mincha and Ma'ariv. It says, since Mincha, explains the Gemara, has a short window of time when it could be davened, we're not concerned that the person is going to forget davening it because he knows that he has a very short amount of time when he could daven Mincha. Ma'ariv, on the other hand, where a person could daven all night long, so we're concerned that the person is going to keep on pushing it off and end up not davening Ma'ariv. Asks Tosfos, why don't we say the same thing by Lulav? That since the halacha by Lulav is that you could take Lulav all day long, so that's why we're more concerned that the person will naturally push it off. So Tosfos says you can't compare Tfilas Ma'ariv to Lulav. Davening Ma'ariv takes a while. You have to daven properly. So that's why there's a natural tendency to push it off, and then we're concerned that he's going to push it off until he doesn't daven at all. However, taking the Lulav, which only takes a moment, so we're not concerned that he's going to push it off because there's no big deal in doing it. That's why the Gemara cannot give this teretz. From here we see that the halacha is certainly, l'chatchila, a person should not do anything before he takes the dalaminim, before he's mekayim the mitzvah dalaminim. The eating is certainly asur. Doing any melacha is certainly asur. There's a shaila if one may take a drink a coffee. The Aruch HaShulchan says that one may. He says it's no different than tefillah. Just like the halacha is that before davening, the Mishnah Berurah says somebody could drink a coffee, so too is the halacha before Netilas Lulav. And the same is the psak of the Heshiv Moshe. However, the Teichemed brings down that on the first 2 days of Yontif, the first day of Yontif in Eretz Yisrael, and the first 2 days of Yontif in Chutz Laaretz, one should be more machmer and not even drink anything before he's mekayim mitzvahs Netilas Lulav. The Mishnah continues in discussing halachas regarding challah. Mishaya ever isha katan makron isoy. If somebody had a slave, an ever kanani, or a woman, or a katan, reading for him the challah. For as Rashi explains, it could be one of two situations. It could either be a person who is unable to say the halal himself, or it's somebody who can daven for himself and he doesn't want to daven, he's relying on one of these people who are on their own not obligated to say halal, because halal is a mitzvah seishas man groma. The only time Tosfos points out women, noshma, are obligated to say halal is on Pesach by night, because by Pesach by night, since the mechuyev to drink the dalet kaisis, and we have the concept of afhein hoyiboy sahanes, that's why on Pesach by night they're obligated to say halal, but any other time they're not obligated to say halal. So here we have this person who's relying on the recitation of halal from an isha or ever a cotton, ein achrei mashen oimrim. He has to repeat word for word what they say. For as the Rishonim explain, and we'll learn in the Gemara, in those times, generally people did not say halal word for word. Rather, they would listen to the Baal Tefillah and be mekayim mitzvahs halal through the concept of Shemaya Ka'oina. However, Shemaya Ka'oina can only be applied where the person himself is obligated. If the person who's saying the bracha or saying the tefillah is not obligated, we cannot rely on Shemaya Ka'oina. And that's why over here, the Baal Tefillah, a Noshim Avodim Ketanim, so we can't rely on Shemaya Ka'oina, and that's why they have to repeat word for word. The Tavolam Ira, however, a person should be cursed for doing such a thing, whether he's, as Rashi explains, he should have learned to know how to say halal on his own, or if he's learned and he can't say a halal on his own, why is he relying on such Baalei Tefillah? However, if a male adult is reciting halal for him, so now we don't have a situation where a person is relying on somebody who himself is not mechuyev in the mitzvah. So there, he doesn't have to repeat every word, just ayna achrav haleluka. It's enough that he should say the word haleluka. As Rashi explained, the Gemara says in Masechet Sota, that's the model. The Gemara in Masechet Sota describes the Shiras Hayam, and the Gemara says the model of Shira was that Moshe Rabbeinu began saying Oshir al Hashem, and everybody responded Shir al Hashem. Then Moshe Rabbeinu again said Ki Go Go, and everybody said Shir al Hashem. So here too, the right thing is that when somebody's saying the Hallel, everybody should respond Halleluka, as the Miri explains, even though one can rely on Shemaya Ka'ina and not really have to say anything, it shows more Simcha, which is the entire purpose of the halal, when everybody includes themselves by saying haleluka. There's machloikas Rashi in Tosfos, if when the Mishnah says tovoloi meira, a person should be cursed for doing this, is it only in the case of when he's relying on a noshma avodim ketanim? But what if he's relying on an adult male? According to Rashi, that too is inappropriate. For as we just explained, everybody should participate in the halal. According to Tosfos, the curse is only referring to the beginning case where he's relying on Noshan Vadim Ketanim, not when he's relying on a gadol. Markum Shenagu Lichboil Yichboil, in a place where they have the custom to say certain verses of the halal twice, one should do that. Lifshot, where we don't say the verses twice, Yifshot, he should not say it. Levarech, in a place where there's a minig to make a bracha after saying halal, yevarech. Before halal, the Rishonim point out, everybody agrees that we say a bracha. Hakol k'minig ha-medina, everything should be done as the minig ha-medina so indicates. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, we learned a braisa masechta brachas. Be'emes amru, we really learned the halacha. Here most Rishonim explain that be'emes does not mean as it normally brings halacha l'mosh m'sinai. Here means be'emes amru, that this is a full-fledged halacha. Ben bevarach l'aviv, a son could say birchas hamazon on behalf of his father. Ve'eved bevarach l'rabbi, and ever kanani could say it on behalf of his master. Ve'ish bevarachas l'bala, and a woman could say birchas hamazon for a husband. Avu amr chachamim, Chazal taught us tava meira A person should be cursed, la'adam she'ishto yivonim mevarchen lo'i, that he relies on his wife or his children to be birchas hamazon on his behalf. So as the Rishonim explain, based on the Gemara Masechta the Brachas, the chiv of birchas hamazon on the adult male here will be a chiv drabonim, because he will have not eaten today sevia to satiate himself. And the Torah says that when is one obligated to say Birch Samazon? Only when he's completely satiated. As the Pasuk says, V'chalta, V'savata, V'varachta. The child or the wife is also only obligated Midrabonon. And since they're both obligated only Midrabonon, the son who has a Chiv Drabonon, Kimimotzi, the father has a Chiv Drabonon, and the same as the wife and the son for the adult. The Ran has a different approach to the Gemara, because the Ran holds that the wife's chiv in Birchas Hamazon is a chiv d'oraisa, and therefore his approach to the Gemara is that normally in those times when people benched bezimun with three people together, one person said the entire Birchas Hamazon for everyone else. However, here we're dealing with a situation, explains the Ran, that we only have two people saying Birchas Hamazon, and normally when two people say Birchas Hamazon, everybody should say the Birchas Hamazon themselves, even if they're both mechuyib in the Raisa, and this person who's relying on his wife, Tavlam Iru, should be cursed. The Chasam Sofer, quoting the Hafla, explains the Gemara this way. We know that normally a Mi'ira, the curse that the Torah refers to, is that the person is not satiated. He doesn't have enough to eat. Explains the Chasam Sofer. According to the way Tosfos just explained the Gemara, that the son has a chiv drabonon, and the father only has a chiv drabonon. Why does the father only have a chiv drabonon? Because he did not eat kedei sevia. Tells us the Gemara, tov me'ira, such a person should be cursed, that he should only eat and never be full. And then, why? Because since he's relying on his son, and he can only rely on his son for Birchas Hamazon when he is not eating Kedei Sevia, so he's cursed that he doesn't have Kedei Sevia because he has to rely on his son for benching. Amar Rava. So Rava continues. Hilchsa Gevirta Ika L'Mishnah Min Hoga D'Halila. Many important halachas can be extrapolated from the way they recited Halal. And the Gemara will now begin mentioning various different minhagim they had when they recited Halal. As the Rishonim point out, the reason these minhagim were enacted was because they wanted to make sure that the original halachas, specifically the halachas referring to people who were not bekiyim, who could not say halal themselves, should remain. Nowadays, when we're all bekiyim, when we all know how to say our own tefillah, these minhagim were not kept up. And as the Rishonim point out, a minig is not binding only in those communities where it has been established. These minhagim were not established in all of the locations of Klal Yisrael. So now that we're bekiyim, so we don't have to be concerned that we'll come up to a situation that we have to rely on someone else saying halal, and the minig wasn't established in our communities, so we don't have these menhagim that the Gemara is now referring to. Even though we don't have these menhagim, a lot of important halachas can be extrapolated to situations that are relevant to us from the halachas that we will now learn regarding halal. The first halacha, Huayma Halaluka. The Baal Tefillah says the word Halaluka, V'hein Oimrim Halaluka, and the people respond with the word Halaluka. Mekan, from here we see Shemitzvah Lano is Halaluka. So as Rashi explains, even though in the times of Rava everybody recited the Halal, the first word of Halal, Halaluka, was recited in a responsive manner. That means the Baal Tefillah would say Halaluka, and everybody would remain silent, and then they would repeat the word while the Baal Tefillah was quiet. The reason we had this minig, the reason they had this minig, that since in the times, as we just explained in the Mishnah, in the times of Chazal, there were people that were Einam Bekiyam, they were not learned, and they may make the mistake, we need them to repeat after the Baal Tefillah. So that's why we established that the first word, everybody should follow that minig. And like the Aruch Haner explains, as we explained, since now we don't have Einam Bekiyam amongst us, we don't have this minig. The Rishonim ask, as we learned in the Mishnah, everybody agrees that before reciting Hallel, we make a bracha. So why isn't there remaining silent after they make the bracha, while the Baal Tefillah says Halleluka, considered a hefsek? So they say, since it's only one word, the word Halleluka, it's not considered a hefsek. Continues the Gemara with another minig that they had. Hu oima Hallelu Avdei Hashem. The Baal Tefillah would say Hallelu Avdei Hashem. V'hein oim Halleluka. And they would say Halleluka. Mekan, from here we have the basis, Shemhayu Godel Makri Asoi. Just like we learned in the Mishnah, that if someone is relying on a Baal Tefillah who's a Godel, on the Akrav Halleluka, so that all he has to do is say Halleluka. That's why to remember that Halacha, to remember that din, they continued it that way. Hu Oimer, Haidul Hashem. The Baal Tefillah says Haidul Hashem. V'hein Oimerim Haidul Hashem. And the Tzibur then repeats Haidul Hashem. Mekan Shemitzvah Lanus Rosh Prokim. So here we see that there's a mitzvah to answer and say the beginning of every chapter. Just like we learned in the Mishnah, that if somebody is relying on the Baal Tefillah, he should say Halleluka after each phrase that the Baal Tefillah says. But at the beginning of every new chapter, instead of just saying Halleluka, it is necessary to respond with the first words of that chapter. For example, if he says the Baal Tefillah would say B'tzeis Yisroel Mitzrayim, then the Tzibur would repeat B'tzeis Yisroel Mitzrayim. To commemorate that halacha, they said what Baal Tefillah says Haidul Hashem, the Tzibur should repeat Haidul Hashem. The Mefarshim ask, if that's the basis for this halacha, then why did they teach it by Haidul Hashem? They should have done it by B'tzeis Yisrael. So a number of answers are given. That one answer given is that the entire first part of the Hallel until Haidul Hashem is considered one perek. It's considered one chapter. So we teach the halacha when we begin the second chapter. Another reason is, as we will now see, that many of the halachas that we teach regarding Hallel apply in this chapter beginning Haidul Hashem. So this halacha also, they taught us in that chapter of Haidul Hashem, even though it could have actually been taught in the chapter beginning with Tzeis Yisrael. Et menami, and so too has been said by Rav Chanan by Rava, Mitzel Anas Rosh Prokim, it's not just enough to say Halleluka if you're relying on the Baal Tefillah saying Hallel, you should also repeat the first word of every chapter. Another halacha. Hu oimer ana Hashem Hashina. The Baal Tefillah would say ana Hashem Hashina. V'hein oimrim, and they would repeat after him ana Hashem Hashina. Mikan, what's the point of this? To teach us Shema Yikotin Makri Yisoy, then a situation where there's a cotton, the Baal Tefillah, as we learned in the Mishnah, when somebody who's not mechuyev and hallel is the Baal Tefillah, the halach is Einer Achrav Mashoimer. There, you have to repeat word for word what the Baal Tefillah would say. And the Mefarshim say, why did we choose to teach this halacha by Ona Hashem? So Mefarshim answer that really Ona Hashem Hashiyana and Ona Hashem Hatzlichana are one pasuk. How can we divide one pasuk into two? Because when one is teaching Talmidim, he's allowed to divide Pesukim to help the Talmidim understand and learn the Pesukim. Here we're teaching us, says the Meiri, that we're relying on a cotton. Where do we show that we're relying on a katan, where we divide psukim, which is the custom done when reading psukim with katanim. The Mefarshim ask, we nowadays, also when we say halal, separate Ona Hashem Hashiyano from Ona Hashem Hatzlichano. And the question is, how can we separate it if it's one pasuk? So some Mefarshim answer, we have the rule, just to say the lashon of the rule, kol psuka deloy paske, any pasuk that was not divided and non loy paskinon, we have no right to divide. So the Mefarshim give two terutzim. One terutz is that this din of not being allowed to divide a pasuk is only by Torah and Novi. This pasuk of Ona Hashem Hashina Ona Hashem Etzlichon is a pasuk in Ksuvim. There we're allowed to divide a pasuk. Another teretz is that the Gemara Masechta Psachim Daf Kuf Yotes Amar Aleph says these two psukim were really a conversation between David and his brothers. David's brothers told him Ona Hashem Hashina, and David responded Ona Hashem Etzlichona. So since originally when these two psukim were said, they were said as two separate psukim, even though maybe in Tehillim they're found as one pasuk, they're allowed to be separated. Another halacha, Hu Aymer Ona Hashem Etzlichona, the Baal Tefillah would say Ona Hashem Etzlichona, Vehein Oimrim Ona Hashem Etzlichona, and everybody repeats Ona Hashem Etzlichona. Mikan, this is the halacha that we learned in the Mishnah, Shembo Lichfoil Kaifel. The person has a right to repeat certain psukim, that we learn certain psukim in the hallow are repeated. And the last halacha, Hu Aymer Baruch Haba, they say Baruch Haba, the Baal Tefillah said Baruch Haba, Vehem Oimrim, they repeat B'Shem Hashem, and they don't say the word Baruch Haba, they rely on when the Baal Tefillah is saying Baruch Haba, Mikan L'Shemei Koina, from here we learn the concept of Shemei Koina, that if I hear the Baal Tefillah saying something, it's like we said it ourselves. Now there's a very fundamental machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos in understanding the concept of Shmei Koina. Rashi says, based on this Gemara, let's say someone is in the middle of davening and the Baal Tefillah is up to Kedusha or is up to Kriyishma. The person should not say it himself. He should just be quiet, hear the Baal Tefillah saying Kedusha, hear the Baal Tefillah saying Baruch Hu, and he's mekayim it through Shemeya Ka'ina. That's what Rashi says. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi and says one should not l'chatchila rely on that, because if we're saying Shemeya Ka'ina, says Tosfos, then it's as if I said the Kedusha. It's as if I said the Baruch Hu while I'm davening. And I'm not allowed to be mafsik. I'm not allowed to interrupt in the middle of the davening to say Kedusha Baruch Hu. Therefore, it's inappropriate. It's important to note that the halacha is like Rashi, that if one is in the middle of the Shmon Esrei, and they come and the tzibur comes to Kedusha Baruch Hu, he should be quiet and rely, and that's how we mekayim mitzvah Kedusha Baruch Hu. However, the Kapas Tamarim says that he should not pick up his feet as our minig is by Kedusha, or bow down as our minig is by Baruch Hu. The Tzlach quotes a machloikis of the Ravid and the Ramban. Let's say someone made a nether, and another person heard the nether, didn't even say the word Amen. Is it considered Shemei Ka'ona as if he said the nether or not? The Ravid says we say Shemei Ka'ona, and it's considered as if he said the nether. The Ramban disagrees that if the person listening didn't even say Amen, it's not considered as if he said the nether. Says the Tzlach, the machloikus of the Ravid and Ramban is based on the machloikus of Rashi and Tosfos. According to Rashi, that we say Shemei Ka'ona is as if he said the words, and it works for tefillah, that he holds like Tosfos, because Shemei Ka'ona, the Ravid and Tosfos give a very strong power to. It's as if I actually said it. That's why Tosfos says it's a hefsek b'tefillah, and that's why the Ravid says it's as if I said the nether. The Ramban, however, will hold like Rashi, that even though we have in our Gemara here a concept of Shemei Ka'ina cannot be considered as if I'm actually mamish saying it, and that's why during tefillah I could stop to hear the Baruch Hu or to hear the Kedusha, and that's why according to Ramban it's not considered as if I said a neder. And this, says the Tzlach, will be relevant to another Shaila La'aloch L'maisa. Let's say somebody has a Sofik if he made a Bracha. He has a Sofik if he benched or he made a Bracha. So what he could do is, he should listen to someone else who has to make that Bracha. Says the Tzlach, that will only work according to Rashi. Because according to Rashi, listening to somebody making a Bracha is not as if I'm actually making the Bracha. But according to Tosfos, that it's as if I have to make the bracha. So therefore, says Tosfos, says the Tzlach, it would be considered a bracha levatala if I'm not mechuyev to make the bracha. And we have a rule, Sofik brachas l'akel. Says Tzlach, according to Tosfos, if somebody has a Sofik, if he made a bracha, he should not listen to someone else who's making the bracha. The Shaila Zetshuvas Elefulcha Shloima takes the same concept to another Shaila. The halacha is that before one learns, he has to make Birchas HaTorah. Let's say someone is only thinking Torah, hearer, he doesn't have to make Birchas HaTorah. Says the Elef Ulcha Shloima, what will be the halacha if somebody is listening to a shir, not speaking at all, before he made Birchas HaTorah? According to Tosfos, that says Shemei Ka'ina, so it's as if I'm the person in listening, as if he's speaking. If he's speaking, he has to make Birchas HaTorah. However, according to Rashi, that says that Shemei Ka'ina is not as if he's actually speaking. The proof is because you're allowed to do it in the middle of Shemen Esrei, it's not considered a hefsik. Says that Elef Ulcha Shloima, a person would not have to make Birchas HaTorah if he's listening to a shir, if he's just listening to a shir in the morning before he made Birchas HaTorah. The Shail Shetshuvas Har Tzvi discusses the shaila who would rely on Shemei Ka'ina for half a bracha. The halacha is to rely on Shemei Ka'ina, you have to understand what the person is saying. So Baruch Atah Hashem, let's say I understand. But the nusach, the rest of the bracha, the person who's relying on someone else for the bracha doesn't understand. Says that Tzvi, you're allowed to rely on Shemei Ka'ina even for half a bracha. And rely on the Shemei Ka'ina for the Baruch Atah Hashem, and the rest of the bracha actually say the words or repeat the words after the person saying the bracha if you don't understand the words. There's even a bigger chiddush in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that Shemei Ka'ina, says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, works automatically. That if I hear someone else make a bracha that I'm mechuyev to make, even if I did not have kavona to be Mekayim Shemei Ka'ina, I'm automatically as if I said the bracha. The Shas of Chuvas and Haggis from Moshe Schnurbach is very puzzled with this concept. He says to say Shemei Ka'ina when the person had no intention of relying on the person saying it is a very big chiddush. They asked Rav Chiya bar Abba the following question. Shama, if someone listened to someone else say something that he has to say, v'lo ana, and he didn't respond, mahu, what's the halacha? Amalu, he responded, hachamayu, the chachamim, the sefrayu, the school teachers, v'reishi amma, the leaders of the people, v'darshayu, and the people who say droshes, amru, shama v'lo ana, if somebody heard and didn't respond, yotza. It menami amr b'shem apazi amr b'shem levi mishum b'akapara nine l'shmei ka'ina. Where do we see the concept of shmei ka'ina? The ksiv as kol divrei sefer ashikara melech Yehuda. The story goes that the sefer Torah was all the sefer Torah were burnt by Achis. One sefer Torah was found in the time of Yeshayahu's son in the base of Migdash, and all of the words of the scroll Yeshayahu read. Is the question, the pasuk says Yeshua read. Is the question, v'chi Yeshua Koran? Was Yeshua the read him? V'loi Shofen Koran? It was Shofen that read it. The ksiv, v'yikro Shofen l'fnei melech. Shofen was the one that read it. L'mekan l'shmei koina. Ask the Gemara, what's the proof that Yeshua didn't read it himself? V'dilma bosa the koronah Shofen, after Shofen read it to him, kari Yeshua read it himself. Amar Rach Vayakov Lo Yisakadatach. It doesn't make sense. The Ksin Yan Ran Chlevavcha, because your heart is soft. V'tikana Mipnei Hashem, you became humble in front of Hashem. B'shamacha B'shamacha V'loy B'karacha, you only heard it, yet it's considered that he read it. Why? Because we have a concept of Shemeya Ka'ayma. Amar Rava, says Rava, one more halach regarding Hallel. Le'im inish baruch haba. A person shouldn't say the word baruch haba and then say v'hada b'shem Hashem, interrupt between the baruch haba and the shem Hashem. El baruch Hashem, baruch haba b'shem Hashem ba'adadi, he should say baruch Hashem altogether. Daruch Lener explains what our Gemara quotes, all these people that said that the halacha is Shemei Koina, the Chachamim, the Sefraya, the Reish Amayev, the Shayu. Why do we need all these people? So the Aruch Haner explains, who is a Chacham? A Chacham is Halaymed Mikol Adam. He learns from everyone else. So a person may think listening to someone else is not as good as learning himself. Says the Gemara, the Chacham teach us that Shemei Koina. Same thing, the Sefraya. The Sefraya, we explained, are the school teachers. The school teachers spend a lot of time listening to Talmidim speak, and they don't speak themselves. So they would think that not speaking themselves, they won't get schar. Teachers are Shemei Koina. On the other hand, the Roshei Am are the people who lead Klal Yisrael, who do speak much. And the people may think, why should we listen as the Roshei Am speak? Isn't it better that we should speak ourselves? So teaches us the Gemara Shemei Koina. And the same thing, the Darshanim. People may not want to come listen to a Darshan say a Shir, because they say, isn't it better that we should learn and speak the Torah for ourselves? Teaches us the Gemara, the Darshanim teach us that Shemei Koina, when one listens to a Shir, he's Mekayim full-fledged mitzvah Limna Torah. It's considered Shemei Koina, and he should go listen to the Shir.